Washington Irving, Tales of the Alhambra, narrated by Luana Marans. Preface to the revised edition. Rough drafts of some of the following tales and essays were actually written during a residence in the Alhambra. Others were subsequently added, founded on notes and observations made there. Care was taken to maintain local coloring and verisimilitude so that the whole might present a faithful and living picture of that microcosm, that singular little world into which I had been fortuitously thrown, and about which the external world had a very imperfect idea. It was my endeavor scrupulously to depict its half-Spanish, half-Oriental character, its mixture of the heroic, the poetic, and the grotesque, to revive the traces of grace and beauty fast fading from its walls, to record the regal and chivalrous traditions concerning those who once trod its courts, and the whimsical and superstitious legends of the motley race now burrowing among its ruins. The papers thus roughly sketched out lay for 3 or 4 years in my portfolio until I found myself in London in 1832. On the eve of returning to the United States, I then endeavored to arrange them for the press, but the preparations for departure did not allow sufficient leisure. Several were thrown aside as incomplete. The rest were put together somewhat hastily and in rather a crude and chaotic manner. In the present edition, I have revised and rearranged the whole work, enlarged some parts, and added others, including the papers originally omitted, and have thus endeavored to render it more complete and more worthy of the indulgent reception with which it has been favored. Palace of the Alhambra, to the traveler imbued with a feeling for the historical and poetical, so inseparably intertwined in the annals of romantic Spain, the Alhambra is as much an object of devotion as is the Kaaba to all true Muslims. How many legends and traditions, true and fabulous, how many songs and ballads, Arabian and Spanish, of love and war and chivalry, are associated with this oriental pile. It was the royal abode of the Moorish king, where, surrounded with the splendors and refinements of Asiatic luxury, they held dominion over what they vaunted as a terrestrial paradise, and made their last stand for empire in Spain. The royal palace forms but a part of a fortress, the walls of which, studded with towers, stretch irregularly round the whole crest of a hill, a spur of the Sierra Nevada or snowy mountains, and overlook the city. Externally, it is a rude congregation of towers and battlements, with no regularity of plan nor grace of architecture, and giving little promise of the grace and beauty which prevail within. In the time of the Moors, the fortress was capable of containing within its outward precincts an army of 40,000 men, and several occasionally as a stronghold of the sovereigns against their rebellious subjects. After the kingdom had passed into the hands of the Christians, the Alhambra continued to be a royal demesne and was occasionally inhabited by the Castilian monarchs. The Emperor Charles V commenced a sumptuous palace within its walls, but was deterred from completing it by